important. I mean, that's so critical because, you know, I think that this book, The End of Heart Disease, it's exactly what the book does. It gives people comprehensive informed consent. And that's kind of a big word or a big term, but it means that you go to a doctor with high blood pressure, and he puts you on a medication, gives you a prescription, and he didn't really tell you the risks of the medication, and he didn't really tell you that they're relatively ineffective, that they may increase the risk of cancer, that they may even, if you overuse, can increase risk of having a sudden cardiac death. And he didn't tell you how comparatively effective or comparatively ineffective they are compared to changing your diet. And I know my point here is that millions and millions of more people would change to eat much healthier if they knew how little medications work and how risky they were in really, in actually causing more problems than they were sought out to solve. And let's just review one or two of them just briefly. Number one, I mean, are people aware who take common medications for blood pressure, like calcium channel blockers, that, for example, women who are on them 10 years or more had double the risk of breast cancer? Double the risk. I mean, that's incredibly risky to be on taking drugs that cause cancer without even being informed about it. You know, and when there's more effective ways to lower your blood pressure with eating right, and the person's never given that option. And, you know, and if you're getting older and your blood pressure is getting higher and the doctor's getting more medication, you know, your blood vessels are getting stiffer and the medications don't prevent the loss of elasticity like diet does. As a matter of fact, if the doctor starts prescribing medications to push your increasing systolic blood pressure down further because it's raising on blood pressure medications, then what happens is it very often lowers diastolic too low. And as the blood vessel stiffens, when diastolic gets too low, you can't get the blood flowing back to the heart fast enough and to the lungs fast enough to be refilled with oxygen. Let me just explain this for a minute, because most people don't realize that the coronary blood vessels, the coronary arteries, are the vessels that bring oxygen and nutrients to the heart muscle itself. And they are the only blood vessels in the body that get filled up during diastole, not during systole. In other words, when the heart is relaxing and refilling, that's when the coronary arteries are bringing oxygen to the heart, and that's when the lungs are getting oxygen to fill those, to reoxygenate your blood. So during the systole is when the heart pumps and the vessels expand, and diastole is when the heart relaxes and the vessels and the blood pressure goes down. And what happens when you take medication is it pushes that second number too low, because as your muscles are stiffening, they're not going out with systole, and they're not recoiling and contracting inward enough during diastole. They're not moving out and in enough. And the blood pressure starts to drop low during diastole, and the two numbers are widening, getting further apart. That's a sign of increasing risk of heart attacks, because the stiffening of the blood vessels is preventing the elasticity of that wall of the arteries. And then the medications push the diastole further down or a little bit lower, and there's not enough pressure to bring that blood back to the heart and lungs fast enough, and you've increased this person's risk of a heart attack or sudden cardiac death or cardiac arrhythmia. And we see this all the time. We see atrial fibrillation. We see irregular heartbeats. We see sudden cardiac death. One study in elderly people showed that blood pressures that were medicated below 70 tripled the risk of sudden cardiac death and heart attacks, and blood pressures that were medicated below 80 doubled the risk of death in these elderly people who were requiring multiple medications. So the point I'm making is that people on the medications don't recognize, and even the doctors don't often recognize, how careful they have to be, and they didn't. And the point is that the only way you can lower systolic blood pressure without pushing diastolic too low, and the only way you can restore these elasticity back to the blood vessels, is with changing what people are eating. And they would, maybe more people would do this if they knew how critically effective it was and how it's the only option that really has no risks.
Well, let's talk about that now. At the beginning of the program, you painted the pie chart of the standard American diet, which was 55% processed food, pastas, bread, cereals, sodas, 30% animal products. And then maybe out of the total pie, I think you said maybe 5% was legitimately fruits and vegetables. So what would the pie chart look like in the nutritarian diet?
Well, that's another great question. So the pie, I do have actually a nutritarian pie chart, by the way, and you know, when the government changed from a pyramid to a pie, I figured, well, I'll make a pie that's correspond with theirs so people can easily recognize that pie and, you know, to see what it is. And, of course, we want people to eat a diet that's not grain-based but vegetable-based. We want, you know, a good portion of their diet, 40 to 60% to be from vegetables. A good part of it should be from beans and a good part from nuts and seeds and fresh fruit and whole intact grains. So, and then the animal product portion, we have less than 10% of total calories, now 33%. In other words, animal products have to be restricted to the general population to about a third or less of what people's eating now. And I'm suggesting that if you already have advanced heart disease, perhaps you should cut that back to 5% or less. But the point is that it's mainly the 54% of calories from processed foods that we want to dramatically cut down, so we have room to increase all the different types of produce that we need to protect your heart. So it has to do with, you know, and of course, you know, as you may know, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years, so I, you know, we have not just myself and my vast experience, but nutritarian chefs all over the country, you know, having show people how we can make this protective diet stuff that protects against heart attacks and cancers and strokes and dementia, to make it taste great, to make it enjoyable, to make it delicious. We're saying here a diet that's vegetable-based. In the scientific literature, we call it nutrient-dense and plant-rich, NDPR. You know, so it's nutrient-dense, so it's largely plants. Animal products are a much smaller component of the diet, and that processed foods, as much as possible, should be eliminated.
And if one of the big focuses is switching from mostly grains to mostly vegetables, are there, within the vegetable world, ones that are particularly good and ones that you would tend to de-emphasize?
Absolutely. Well, one thing we want people to know is that green vegetables have therapeutic benefits to lower blood pressure and reverse atherosclerosis. In other words, I have a mantra that I tell people to listening to me. I say, get a, you know, an index card out and a nice pen or a magic marker, and write on the index card, the salad is the main dish, and put it right on your refrigerator. The salad is the main dish. The rule here is that once a day, everybody should be eating a large salad at least once a day as the main part of their meal. And that salad should have beans on top. It should have tomatoes, and it should have some cruciferous green vegetables like cabbage or kale or bok choy or watercress or arugula right in the salad, because those raw cruciferous vegetables contain a phytochemical called ITCs. And the ITC stands for its isothiocyanates. So these ITCs have dramatic protection effects to help prevent plaque from sticking to the walls of blood vessels and to help resolve and remove plaque and restore vascular elasticity. The second thing that people can do, the most besides cutting out salt, to lower their blood pressure, is switch the major source of fat in their diet from animal fats and oils, any kind of oil, olive oil, coconut oil, flax oil, you know, almond oil, but walnut oil, any kind of oil, to switch that to whole food instead, the flaxseed, the walnut, the almond, the coconut, the apple. And in other words, eat whole food. So I'll make salad dressings, for example, for this large salad, by mixing an orange with some cashews and toasted sesame seeds, or some low-salted tomato sauce with some almonds and sunflower seeds and fig vinegar or balsamic vinegar and a few raisins and a garlic, and whip that up in there. So we're making these gourmet salad dressings out of nuts and seeds instead of just pouring oil on your salad, and that has a magnificent effect to drop blood pressure and to lower cholesterol. So we're talking here about a change in thinking in the way you think about food and a strategy to actually make the recipes taste gourmet, whether it's desserts or salads or soups or main dishes, how to use these principles to make foods taste really incredible that people can enjoy.
Well, tell us a little more about why you de-emphasize olive oil, and also why walnuts would be good but walnut oil would not be so good when figuring out how to do a salad dressing for the salad that you're proposing.
Thank you. That's a good question. And, of course, we're explaining to people that when you take an oil into the bloodstream, into the body, it gets absorbed instantaneously and very effectively. In other words, every tablespoon of oil has 120 calories in it, and all of those 120 calories, 100% comes into the body, and it rushes in 3 to 5 minutes. And the body has to generate, has to store that. It can't burn it for fat. It has to store it. It stores it as fat. So we're saying 3 to 5 minutes right from your lips to your hips. Once it's on fat, it doesn't come off until the end of the catabolic phase. In other words, we have to burn glycogen favorably over fat stores so it doesn't come off as easily. When we eat the fat from a walnut instead of walnut oil, or the olive instead of the olive oil, or the almond instead of the almond oil, then the fat is bound to fibers called sterols and stanols, and it's absorbed over a period of 3 to 4 hours, not 3 to 4 minutes. And because it's coming into the bloodstream so slowly, it's preferentially burned for energy. And because you're taking it in with the fibers present in the nuts and seeds, which add as a fat sponge, they don't allow all the fats to be taken into the bloodstream. About a large percentage of those fats go into the toilet bowl, increasing stool fat. So all their calories are not biologically available, lessening your overall caloric exposure. Furthermore, and interestingly, these binding fibers, these binding sterols in nuts and seeds, suck out bad fats out of the body. In other words, there's a circulation that goes of fat from the digestive tract into the bloodstream, and from the bloodstream back into the digestive tract. It flows both ways. And in that process, these sterols and stanols in these fibers in nuts and seeds, when you eat the whole nut or seed, they suck out saturated fat and LDL cholesterol from the bloodstream and pull it out into your toilet bowl, into the stool, lowering your cholesterol about 3 to 4% further. So there's lots of biological mechanisms which we're touching on now, including all the phytochemicals in the nuts and seeds and their favorable effect in increasingly absorption of beneficial nutrients in the other foods that you eat them with. So there's a tremendous amount of benefit from eating nuts and seeds as opposed to the oil from those nuts and seeds. So I kind of like joke around in my lectures on television. I like hold up a big bottle of oil and I say, I'm going to hold up the food and you tell me whether it makes you fat or makes you thin. And I hold up sesame seeds, and the audience yells up thin, and I hold up sesame oil, and they yell up fat, and I hold up walnuts, and they play thin, and they hold up walnut oil, and they say fat, and they hold up motor oil. I go, hardly ever eat this stuff. I was just making a joke about it. But the point is, we want to recognize, in general speaking, we want to eat the whole carrot, or the whole beet, not the sugar from the beet. We want to eat the whole, once we process foods and extract different portions of it, we don't get its total health benefit anymore. We've kind of made it into a processed foods, and people should recognize that oil is a processed food that doesn't grow on trees and doesn't give us the whole benefit of the foods it originated from.
Well, Dr. Furman, this is a fascinating conversation, and we're once again going to invite Ani and Janka into the studio so people can learn how they can get a copy of End of Heart Disease, and we'll be right back with you again.
Absolutely. It is easy to do right now. Just dial 877-500-5266 and get your copy of The End of Heart Disease. You're hearing this fascinating interview. The truth is so simple, right? It's like, wow, food, the way it's just, made by nature, it actually helps our bodies. And it's this kind of information that is so important to get without commercial interests, right? This is the thing about community radio, about independent media. We are able to give you the interviews and to bring the information out because it is beneficial to our lives, not because it's actually going to sell a product. It's, you know, we're not telling you that you're bad as is. We're telling you how to stay healthy and strong together. And that is an essential difference of community independent media as opposed to, commercial corporate controlled press. That's really a huge difference. And another huge difference is, well, it takes your participation to stay open and to stay financially viable because you are what allows our independence. We are interdependent, the community and the community radio station. Please give a call right now, 877-500-5266.
You know, if you're not familiar with this model, it's different from commercial radio where the vast majority of the funding for it comes from advertising and comes from major corporate sponsorship. Here at KBOO, we are supported by our members. That is you, the listener, that contributes maybe $5 or $10 a month. All of that adds up to this station's budget. So that's how this station operates. It's different from commercial radio. It's different even from some of the other non-commercial radio stations that get huge grants and government funding. KBOO gets zero government funding. Our funding is all local, from you, the listener, from local businesses that underwrite. This is how this station continues year after year. And it's amazing that our listeners continue to step up, and I know that you will do so so right now. We have about $300 to go, about 20 minutes to do it. And if we could just get three more of you to sign up for that $10 a month contribution, you get a copy of The End of Heart Disease, you get the satisfaction of being a contributor to your community radio station, you get KABU in your ears whenever you choose to listen. Call right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to our new website, kboo.fm. It's real easy to give there as well.
We need to raise about $350 more for this segment right now, and you can be a significant part of that when you dial 877-500-5266. Go ahead and kick down that $75. Get a copy of this book. It'll do you well. You know, this information is stuff that you can keep going in your community, amongst your friends and your family. Once you improve your own life, keep that information out there, because that is, I got to say, so very important. And that's one of the essences of KABU. We want to continue information flowing into the communities. It's a ripple effect as we each do our part to take care of our own lives and our own backyards, and then working together, building bridges. That is community radio. We ask you to jump on in and be a part of it right now. $6.25 a month is the amount that you can give, and get a copy of this book right now. You're hearing the interview with Dr. Joel Fuhrman, and we'd love to give you a copy of this book when you dial 877-500-5266. Get a copy of The End of Heart Disease, and jump on in. The water's fine. We do need to hear from you right now. We got two lines open. Please do give us a call and fill them up. 877-500-5266.
Yep, David's sitting back there smiling, waiting for a phone call, waiting for somebody to ring up his line. 877-500-5266. Don't worry, we still got another phone line open. Maybe you've been a KABU member in the past and you've let it lapse. Well, now's the time to come back and join the fray of this community station, this community effort. Call right now, 877-500-5266. We're going to go back to David Naiman. We do still have, I think, three or four copies of this book, but call right now to get one as your thank you. 877-500-KABU.
We're talking today to Dr. Joel Fuhrman about his latest book, The End of Heart Disease. Dr. Fuhrman, if I were to try to put your nutritarian program into a general context of various types of diet, it seems like it does share a lot in common, or at least an affinity, with Dr. Ornish's approach, maybe a little bit higher fat than Dr. Ornish's approach. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on some of the research that's come out lately that has shown the very opposite approach, the Atkins low carbohydrate, high protein diet, showing some benefits on lipid profiles, on cholesterol, and then this reevaluation that's happened, at least in the public sphere, around saturated fats. What are your thoughts on both of those things?
Well, thanks for answering those. Now, obviously, it's important people understand this, because I'm really making a very strong case here that the public has thoroughly been confused and misinformed and put in a dangerous direction. I think it's really critical people are informed about this. So we could start out with a few different things to talk about here. Number one is that there's been numerous studies that showed that various diet types that are close to what I'm recommending, such as, you know, the DASH diet, Ornish diet, Mediterranean diet, Esselstyn diet, CHIP diet, we're talking about diets that are all heavily in plants and have reduction to a certain degree of animal products, some more extreme than others, and how they've been effective at reversing heart disease and causing not just prevention, but actually reversal. And also that we have long-term data on people on diets higher in animal products. And we find that the scammery or the irresponsibleness of telling people about those high animal product diets, like high animal product paleo or Atkins, Dukan, those type of diets, have been shown when used long-term, they dramatically increase total mortality and cardiovascular death. And I gave numerous studies in the book that showed that where any study that went 10 years, 15 years, or 20 years on those diet plans show they're dramatically dangerous, and any doctor that doesn't warn against those plans is being either ignorant about that data or irresponsible. And that anything that causes you to lose weight can cause your blood pressure to maybe, your cholesterol to drop a little bit, or your triglycerides to improve, and that's a one-year looking at short-term markers of heart disease or short-term risk factors don't really define a person's a true definition of their risk, because a small reduction in cholesterol doesn't tell you whether the cholesterol is oxidized or not. And there's other factors involved in heart or cardiovascular risk, particularly inflammation, which determines your risk of death from both heart attacks, strokes, and cancers. And I gave, for example, a recent study published in British Medical Journal following more than 129,000 individuals, not these studies where they show 50 to 100 individuals, but 129,000 followed for more than 20 years. I think the average was close to 25 years. And they stratified every person, all these people, onto what percent of animal products they included in the diet as a percent of total calories. So they found that as they went closer to the model of an Atkins-type ketogenic diet, as they had a diet higher in animal products, lower in carbohydrate, they gave that a score of 20, and they gave everybody a score of 1 to 20, based with the 1 would be a person that's eating a higher carbohydrate, low animal product diet, and more, and of course, all the different parameters from 15, 16, set in between, and they found that as people's scores went up and the percent of animal product went to a larger percent of total calories, they found heart attack rates went up accordingly, and those in the higher range of 15 to 20 had a 60% higher risk of cardiovascular death compared to people in the lower range of 6 to 0 to 6. So the point we're making here, is that it's not controversial here. It's just people haven't read the studies or haven't seen the studies that are available, and that having death is a stronger endpoint. They're just looking at an LDL cholesterol, which is not an accurate indicator of risk. And not that we're saying an Atkins-type diet is effective at lowering cholesterol. In most cases, the cholesterol is not changed that significantly. And then also the people lose a little bit of weight sometimes in the short run, but they brought up and gain it back again. It doesn't result in strong benefits for sustained weight loss. 95% of the patients who lose more than 10% of their body weight gain it back within 3 years. So we're talking about there's lots of information being thrown out there, and people are very confused about it. And you also brought up the idea that now fat is good and butter is back and saturated fat is favorable, and all the stuff people are hearing is also not supported by the science either, because what it is saying is two to three things. Number one, that people did not recognize before, and scientists and doctors didn't certainly, how bad high glycemic carbohydrates are. And a lot of people move from a diet with more fat to one that now has more white pasta and bread and sugar in it. And when you do that, your heart attack rates go up, not down, because high glycemic carbohydrates are more dangerous than fat, even from animal products. So, but you don't buy a car by comparing it to a junkyard wreck. It doesn't mean saturated fat is good just because sugar and white flour is even worse. You follow me on that?
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
So we're also finding that low-fat animal products like, you know, white meat, chicken, or meat without the skin cutting the fat off, those lower fat versions don't protect against heart attacks. That eating higher fat versions don't really make it that much worse than lower fat versions, because it's not really that wasn't the main issue. The main issue was that there was too many calories from animal products, not enough calories from vegetables in the diet, and beans and nuts. So it's really, you don't fix your health by just cutting the fat off the chicken or eating less butter. So it's more complicated. But people use that data to suggest it's okay to eat fat now, which it's not saying that. It's saying it's that if you just can't cut back to lower fat versions of the animal product and expect to get protected because you're still going to increase the amount of vegetables in your diet. We have to eat less animal products, less animal protein, more plant foods, more phytochemicals, more antioxidants, more fibers. We have to take all the factors I'm talking about, what makes a nutritarian diet so protective, and put all those factors on the plate to get this degree of protection we're talking about. We can't simplistically think it's just eating more fat or less fat or more, you know what I'm saying? It's not as simple as just eating saturated fats bad, but, you know, monounsaturated fats from olive oil is good, and that's just eating, you know. So people had an oversimplistic viewpoint of what would work, but nor does it mean that those foods are now suddenly got a free rein. You can eat as much as you want of those foods and not bad anymore. That's not really what the data shows.
Well, Dr. Furman, we're almost out of time, and I just wanted to have you give some final thoughts for perhaps people who are on the fence about whether to try this program. Maybe we have some listeners who either have family members with cardiovascular disease or they're already medicated. What would be some parting words for people who are listening to today's program?
I'd say the only reason not to do this would be is if you're insane. You know, because any smart, intelligent, normal, logical person is going to want to dramatically reduce their risk of heart attack and stroke and cancer with a plan that can taste delicious. The negative side is people say, oh, I'd rather die younger than enjoy my life more eating what I feel like eating. But even that doesn't hold up to scientific scrutiny, because we've tested out scientifically, too, that people enjoy eating this way just as much after a six-month period. So, yes, there's a temporary phase where it takes time to change your taste buds and to learn the recipes and such, but eventually you like this taste-wise as much as your old diet. So I'd have to say, you know, I'm on a mission to save lives, and I want people to take full advantage and at least learn this information before you think it's not for you, because you'd find out it's more delicious than you thought.
Well, it was great having you on Health Watch today, Dr. Furman.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you and your work, too, and thanks for having me on.
We've been talking today to Dr. Joel Furman, the author of The End of Heart Disease, and we're going to be inviting Annie and Jenka back in the studio to see how you can get one of our final copies.
We have two copies left, and you can get one of them by calling 877-500-5266. Jump on into your community radio station and say, yes, you want to be one of our grassroots supporters. You want to do your part to make sure that we are able to bring you commercial-free information, information that is unfettered by corporate interests. We are not here to sell you big pharma. We are here to bring you information from experts around the nation, around the world, on so many issues like your health. And, you know, other things, social justice, environmentalism, we have so much going on in our news and public affairs programming. And really, it's available because of you, our listeners. 877-500-5266. This is listener-supported radio. This is independent, in-your-face community broadcasting. 877-500-5266. End of Heart Disease, the book that you can get right now with your contribution of $75. We just have two copies left, and you can be one of the people to get them. Oh, you lucky person. Start dialing 877-500-5266.
You know, and instead of doing the $6.25 a month, just round it up. Do $10 a month. Support KBOO at that level. That's doable for many people. I do it. I give 20 a month. Ani also said that she gives 20 a month.
It's true.
It's doable for many of us. If you are someone that could consider doing that for your community, please call now. Help us reach our goal for this show. We've got just 4 minutes left in the hour. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We want to thank Ivan, who gave and called that number, and also Ray in Milwaukee, and Josephine. Thank
Super
you all
fantastic.
So much for calling. We want you to be the next person. Maybe you tune in on a regular basis, or you tune in every now and then, and you know the value of KBOO for both yourself and for your community. Well, we need your support in order to continue making great radio. The vast majority of our funding comes from you, the listener. The rest comes from local businesses. Please give us a call and support this community effort. 877-500-5266. We are inching closer to our $120,000 goal, which we are going to reach by tomorrow. 877-500-KBOO.
That's right. And we do it with each person participating. Right now, we ask you to stop what you're doing, because we know, you know, it's always easy to get around to something later, right? Because we all have that habit. Oh, yeah, that's important, and I'll do that soon. But right now, I'm kind of busy. I've got stuff and such. Stop with the stuff and such just for a moment. We know the stuff and such is also important.
Let me do my stuff and such, Ani.
Just for a moment, the stuff and such goes to the side, and you pick up your phone and you say, this is your moment to shine. You are going to join community radio. You are going to do your part to keep KBOO independent, to keep KBOO strong, and to know that you are participating. 877-500-5266. We may still have a copy of that book left. One copy left. Excellent.
Copy.
Update. You can get that last copy of The End of Heart Disease. And you heard the interview. You heard the important information about how really eating whole foods is kind of critical to your health. And I know that doesn't seem like radical information, but if you actually look at what is being put out in the corporate-owned press, it is absolutely at right angles to it, right? So this is why you tune to KBOO, to get the straight scoop on the news that you need to live an informed life, to live a healthy life, and to be stronger together with other members of your community. It's all about collective action, getting the goods. And right now we are asking you to be a part of that collective action. Do please give us a call at 877 800-500-5266. $10 a month, as Jenka was suggesting earlier, is actually just about our average contribution per member that has inched up readily as more people are taking advantage of that monthly contributing, sustaining way of joining KABU. Right now, go ahead and make it your way of joining KABU. $10 a month, $12.50 a month, $20 a month. What can you afford for your community? Go ahead and kick it on down. 877-500-5266.
And that sustaining membership can be done for as little as $5 a month. If that's doable for you, then you can be a sustaining member and know that you're doing your part to keep KABU strong and vibrant throughout the year. The number to call, as Ani said, is 877-500-5266. We've got just over a minute to go. This New York Times bestseller, one copy available, The End of Heart Disease. Dr. Neil Barnard says this empowering plan will protect and strengthen your heart and transform your overall health. I've often relied on Dr. Furman's wisdom, and now you can too. Call right now, be a sustaining member. Thousands of people listen every day but never make a contribution. Of the 45,000 or so who listen, only about 10% contribute financially. Be a part of that group. Be a part of the contributors. Do your civic duty to your community and really feed yourself. You're not just giving a gift to KABU. You're giving it back to yourself and your friends and family and loved ones, that this station remains a stalwart part of the KABU, of the Portland airwaves. 877-500-5266. You are an important part of this community radio, and you can feel good about yourself when you call.
877-500-5266. Perhaps you are on your way out and about someplace today. Do drop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to give you a tour of the station. We'd love to show you around and show you how money is made.
I think we made our goal.
Woohoo!
All right, let's keep this momentum going.
That
Great
is
job,
fantastic.
Everybody.
Go ahead, give us a call. Drop by 20 Southeast 8th on your way to anywhere today. Or give us a call right now, 877-500-5266.
And it is 12 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. It's time now for the Noontime Jamboree. This KABU program has been made possible in part by the KABU Foundation members and a grant from Curiosities, a vintage mall serving the West Side with space for over 70 dealers and a selection of vintage, retro, mid-century clothing, jewelry, and antiques. Curiosities is located at 12705 Southwest Beaverton Road in Beaverton. More at www.curiositiesvintage.com. And also by the historic White Eagle Saloon, presenting a variety of music live from regional and national artists.